We want to continue our study, and we just entitled this Man and Woman, and then subtitled it Competition or Completion, because there's so much going on, and I could say the world, but I mean it's in the church. It's just really manifested in the church and has been for years. And I've run into some stuff over the years as a pastor where the women want to be separate. This group wants to be separate from the total organization. And why would you want a separate identity? I mean, to me that's foolish. And churches have churches in churches. You know what I mean? Each little department over here doing its thing and not really working together, and from their attitude, God forbid that anyone cross them and do something that's not in agreement with them. You know, and this is where a lot of this comes from the whole mindset in writing this study guide. I was just provoked through some things that were going on to put this together, because what I was seeing was competition and not understanding that God designed this thing. God designed the man. God designed the woman. God has a role for the man. God has a role for the woman. And in addition to that, with our gifts and abilities, you know, they're given to us by God. They're given to us for a purpose. They're to be used for God's purpose, but too often gifts and abilities are used to benefit the people, and often they're exploited to where they're making people millions of dollars. You understand? It's just a whole wrong concept. This thing's not about fame and fortune. This is about the kingdom of God and getting the work of God done. And that's what we really want to stress in this study is working together. If it's a husband and wife, then they need to work together in that home to where that home is functioning and producing what God wants that home to do. If it's a working relationship on a job, then God wants those to produce the maximum for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And certainly when you get into a church or a ministry, people working together are supposed to work together. You know, we often say we work with somebody, but the truth is, I've seen people that work for the place that didn't work with. They didn't work with anybody. And then that's just a problem waiting to manifest. But we've talked about how arguments force disagreement, and harmony's lost. You don't walk in together in agreement. If you're not in agreement, then how are you going to get to the goal? You have to be going in the same direction. If you're going to walk together, you have to be sharing similar interests. And joining forces with those who don't share the same purpose and objectives, it results in a civil war. And I mean, you have it, church splits. You understand that a church splits a civil war. It's just something, I know it's not with, you know, weapons, but it's worse. Because this is eternal. The other's temporary. This is eternal. Now, let's look at the next section on page 4 of your study guide, Roman numeral 4, called Achieving Our Goal. In order to achieve your goal, you have to know your goal. I've asked many people that have come talk to me, what's your vision? And I hear this a lot. I really don't have a vision. Well, where are you trying to go? You know, I'm convinced that if we'll just stop and think and look, you don't have to go into deep analysis, but just common sense tells you some things that will lead you to vision and purpose. It's interesting because God puts desire in us. You understand? One, but not everybody shares the same desire. Now, all of us should desire to be like the Lord. That's just a general umbrella, okay? But then, what's my goal? In other words, when it comes to the kingdom of God, what is it that I want to do for the kingdom of God? What is it about ministry, and which is nothing but service? How do I want to serve God? What's the desire there? And you know, different people have different desires. Some love the hospitality side, but they excel at it. Well, there's a place for it. Okay? I mean, that's a gift. Some love to stand before people and minister. I mean, you look at Paul. Paul had a passion that drove him to share with people what he knew. Now, he had the gifting all along as far as teaching and instructing in the law of God. I mean, he was very zealous for the law. But then when God got into this thing, what's he doing? Now, he's wanting other people to learn what he's learned, and he has such a burning desire to get other people to learn. See, he has such a desire to get people to learn that he'll risk his life to do it. That's passionate. You understand? That's very passionate. I've heard Pat say it many times, you know, quoting from Acts 15, men who have, the King James Version says, have hazarded their lives. In other words, they've risked their lives. Why? For the cause of Christ. Now, what would make them do that? Desire. Not desire. They don't have a death wish, you understand. Not desire to be a hero. But they have such a desire to do what God's put on their heart. And I believe if people don't have a desire on their heart, they need to start spending time before the Lord and let that get provoked. Okay? See, some things we have them so suppressed that we don't know what they are. and it has to surface. And the way it surfaces through that intimate time with the Lord. So we need to know our goal. What is it that God put me on earth to do? And I believe that if you're on earth, that you didn't come by chance. I believe you came by purpose, for purpose. That you were brought here to accomplish something, whatever that may be. God's goal, which is purpose, or his objective for man and woman is the same, is to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? But they don't have the same role. But they do have an ultimate objective. We want to produce. We want to fulfill God's mandate, and neither one of us can do it by ourselves. Well, the same thing holds true spiritually. We want to produce, but we can't do it alone. We have to have others working with us. That means that we know those who labor among us. We search out where do we fit in this picture, and then yoke up with that. Neither man nor woman has the ability to produce without the other, do they? Do you know God designed it that way? Because if you could, you'd be self-sufficient. And not only are we to produce naturally, but we're also to produce spiritually. And men and women must learn to work together. Starts in the home. But they need to learn to work together in the church and in the community and everywhere else for that matter. Otherwise, we'll not be able to accomplish God's purpose for our lives. You know, when you think about it, the way Jesus has ordained the body of Christ is to carry on his ministry in earth. But now think about this. When Jesus was walking the earth, the fullness of the Godhead, Did he do things by himself, or did he have others with him? He had others with him. He was depending on other people to help him. Now you think about this. How did he get his needs met? There were women, certain women, who looked after him, his needs. They ministered to him. And not just women, but I'm including both sides. The disciples, the apostles, what did they do? He would send them here to do this or to do that. For instance, when he's getting ready for this, celebrate this last Passover, what does he do? He sends them out to get the room, to get the place. When he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, did Jesus do it? No, he broke the bread. He divided the meat. He blessed it. But what did he do? Who actually distributed it? His apostles are the ones that distributed. Now you think about this. How in the world could one person have ministered to all the thousands by himself? He couldn't. So even Jesus himself depended upon other people to assist him. How about Paul? He depended on other people to assist him. And especially when he was in prison, because there was things, he was so limited into what he could do. Well, we have to understand that there are people that God brings across our path to assist us, and we need to learn to work with them. They're not trying to take over your job. They're not trying to take your position, not if they're following the Spirit of God. So we shouldn't be threatened by people that are trying to help us. We have to learn to work together. Now, not everyone's called to work side by side. This is a thing that just really came alive to me through the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was sent to Jerusalem to build a wall, that was his objective, right? To build a wall around the city. Well, when he evaluated this thing to see what needed to take place, you look, there were 42 different groups, segments of people. When I say groups, small teams. 42 people, segments, not 42 people, 42 segments working on the wall. Now, the wall circled the city. So they're not all working side by side. Now, here's what I find. This group worked on this section of the wall. This group worked on the section joining that group. And then there were some that worked on the gates. A different job. Totally different job. But some here are working side by side. Now, you know, I've been around it a little bit in construction, but I know that the brick mason needs a helper. Or block mason or stone mason, whatever. If he's having to carry all his brick, stone, mix the mud, he'll be a long time trying to get a job done. But see, people can make that job much easier and flow so much better. For instance, these walls were built in 52 days, this wall. And to me, that's incredible. Less than 2 months, a wall around the city? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Why? Because people worked together. And they had a mind to work, is the way the King James Version says it. Some working shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand. They're right there interacting with one another. But there's others over here, they're not telling them how to do their job. And there's no competition in that. Build your section. Your concern is your section. If they don't do it as good as you think they should have done it, that's none of your business. If they don't go about it the way you go about it, that's none of your business. That's their section. Okay? That's Nehemiah's business. He's the oversight. You understand? He's overseeing the whole operation. But this group here is just to focus on what they're doing. Work together in harmony. Well, that's why it's so important that in the beginning that people get the right mate. You think of how many families, let me back up, how many husbands and wives work together. Really and truly work together. There's many that can't work together. They don't agree. And they try to work together, they argue. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. We're to complete one another. We're not to compete against one another. It's not there drawing a battle line over who's right and who's wrong. This is the project. Let's get the project done. And let's do it with excellence. Listen, anything you do for the Lord, I believe anything you should do, but especially for the Lord, should be done with excellence. Why would you want to do inferior work? See, we're in a society today that puts its emphasis on speed and production. And we've lost so much. There is no quality control. You cannot put your emphasis on production and have a solid quality control because you'll sacrifice the quality to get the production. God does not sacrifice quality. You understand? So if we're doing the work of God, why would we be sacrificing quality? We shouldn't. Teach to the best of our ability. Don't just skim the surface, but try to... What did He tell us to do? He didn't tell us to go out and teach people. What He said was go make disciples. You can't make disciples just lecturing. Disciples are made when they understand the message that's being conveyed. It's not just you telling them something or teaching them something. It's when they comprehend to the point that they can apply. If you don't have the comprehension to apply, then you can't be a disciple. A disciple must apply. So there's more to this than just a lecture. This is why with this Bible college, I tell people time and again, if you're looking for a degree, you're in the wrong place. Well, that's not what we're about. But if you want to learn the Word of God, you're in the right place. And the degree is just the byproduct. So we need to keep our perspective right. Stay focused on the main thing. To where we get quality. We do what we do as well as we know how, as well as we have the ability. So we have to learn to work with people. And to do that, requires fruit of the Spirit. Patience, self-control are fruit of the Spirit. Do you understand? Peace is fruit of the Spirit. And these things come with our union with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you how we work together with people is we stay united to the Holy Spirit. If we're in union with the Holy Spirit, we're intimate with Him, then we can produce the fruit that will enable us to work with others. Work in harmony. Don't critique. We should complement one another with what we do. Okay? And this principle applies to all areas of our lives. At home, on the job, church, social arenas. wherever we go, we should be able to work with people. And get the job done. And not create a bad atmosphere in the process. I'd rather work in a good atmosphere, hadn't you? You know, even in church and ministry, not everyone's called to do the same thing. And here again, it's knowing our place. What's my goal? What's my purpose? Then to be content in that particular place, doing that particular thing, whatever that may be. Not everybody's called to what we commonly call pulpit ministry. Not everybody's called to be a preacher teacher in the, you know, the modern day definition of preacher teacher. We're all to proclaim. We're all to instruct. But we may not all be in that particular position. You know, you think of this in a just like a major university. You have faculty or a school system. You have faculty. You have staff. Your faculty, basically your teachers. But then the staff really keeps the school running. I mean, you have to have your secretaries, your receptionists, your maintenance, your housekeeping, all your cafeteria workers. All these things are vital to the operation of that. Now, where we miss it is we put one more important than the other. And if you don't have the degrees and all this, you know, then you're inferior. Well, I disagree with that mentality. I've always disagreed with that mentality. It's just never set right with me. If you're doing what God's called you to do, then you're not inferior to anybody. You understand? And I tell people this in counseling. If you don't need a degree to do what God called you to do, why are you seeking a degree? It could be a diversion to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. But if you do need it, then do what you need to do to get in the position or to maintain the position that God wants you to be in. But don't get into condemnation over titles and positions and all this type stuff, and don't get into competition with that. And for goodness sake, don't let anyone impose something upon you. Be secure in yourself. If you're secure in your gifting, then it doesn't matter to you what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is saying about that. If you're secure in what God's called you to do, it doesn't matter to me. You know, if I think about how Moses, when the burden was so heavy for him to try to look out after a whole nation, what did he do? He pointed leaders of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. So he couldn't do it by himself. He had to have help, right? Now, which is more important? See, we tend to think, well, the leader of thousands would be more important than the leaders of ten. But the bottom line is it takes all working together in a harmony in order for this thing to run smoothly. Consequently, that person over the ten is vital. And we need to get that understanding in ministry. Today, people want to flock to the churches that seat the most people. Why is that? Because in most cases, it's not the place to where you're going to be the most spiritually fed. I may get some flack over that, but so be it. And I'll tell you why I said what I did say. Because there is a tremendous pressure to perform, and especially when you have two or three services following one right after the other, you're operating in a block of time, a window of time. You know you have to be through here. So the Holy Spirit's only has this window of time. To where you're in a small setting, who cares? The Holy Spirit can take all day if He wants to. He can minister like He wants to minister. And here again, I'm not misunderstand me. I'm not standing here trying to be critical of Lord, okay? My point in all this is to say, quit looking at numbers. That's not what it's about. What's God called you to do? Then do it. Just do it. Because that's where you're going to be the happiest. You're not the happiest making the most money. You're the happiest when you're doing what God wants you to do. Satisfaction comes from inside. It doesn't come from the outside. There's not enough things in the world to satisfy you. It's a contentment that comes, it rises out of the heart, and it's related to being in the will of God and fulfilling the purpose God has for your life. Although everyone has the mandate to be fruitful and multiply, not everyone produces the same thing, nor do we produce the same way. I mean, you think of it in the natural, children are as different as snowflakes, right? I mean, even in your own house, there's no two alike. So why would I expect everybody's children to be like my children? But you know that's what ministries and churches are. They expect everybody's to be like theirs. If you're not like mine, then there's something wrong. Well, we've got to get out of that mentality. No, the bottom line is it takes that variety, in order to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. He's a multifaceted God, you understand? I mean, God can't even identify Himself by one name. Have you ever thought about that? It takes many names to describe Him. Well, don't you think it would take many names to describe the body of Christ as well? So many gifts, so many abilities. Abraham knew God this way. Moses knew God this way. Others knew God this way. See, we know God in a particular way. Others know God in a particular way. We have a thrust. And we minister Him through that thrust. Now, that doesn't mean we can't grow and learn more about Him. But generally speaking, we'll have a particular thrust in our service to the Lord. That's the point I'm trying to make. So we unite with those of like vision, being cautious not to criticize others who have a different vision. You know, if you're called in maintenance, you have a common bond with people in maintenance. You work with them. You share the vision. But going back to like a school setting, how many of those teachers could relate to the maintenance? All they know is it works or it doesn't work, and we want it fixed. They don't know what all's involved in doing that. Well, the same thing with the maintenance as far as the classroom teaching. Do you understand? Each one has a thrust. They have a perspective, and both are important. Now, the thing is not to compare them, but to work with them. I do my job, you do your job, and when we all do our job and we do it well, then we can accomplish much more and it goes so much more smoothly. Well, that applies to the home, that applies to work, that applies to the church. But when we get into that competition mode, well, I want to be better. I want to be bragged about. I want to get the compliments. I want to be seen. I want that. all that self-centeredness, and then you've missed God altogether. You're not serving God, you're serving yourself. And a lot of people serve themselves in positions in the church. But they're not really, they're not serving God, they're serving themselves. And that's the reward. That's the sad part. We're all accountable and responsible for how we influence and how we are influenced. That's why it's so important that we operate in our field of ministry or our vocation. And here again, God didn't call you to be like somebody else. He made you to be you. Do what He's put in your heart. Now, we mentioned this, I think, at the very beginning, how likes attract. In the natural, opposites attract. But in the spirit, likes attract. In order to fulfill our God-given purpose, we must work with those who share like interest, or I like to say it this way, our hearts are like. You think about Jonathan and David, it says their hearts were united. Get together. It didn't click with Saul. It didn't click with others. The boy with Jonathan and David, why? They were thinking the same way. As a matter of fact, their hearts were so connected that Jonathan was willing to give up the throne. He wanted God to do what God wanted to do. If God said David's supposed to be the number one man, that's all right. I'll help you, David. Now, that's when you get things right. And that's how God wants us to be, to where our hearts are united. Our focus in both life and ministry should be on God's ordained purpose for our lives. Here again, I can't overemphasize this. I know I keep saying it, but what does God want me to do? Then that's what I need to be doing. People say, well, how do I know? I said, well, do all you know. What do you know to do? If you don't know but one thing, do it. And I'll bet when you get through with that, you'll know something else to do. And it's not a fact of trying to categorize yourself and put a label on yourself. Let that be for the survivors. They can write that as an epitaph on your tombstone. You know, this was his purpose. And he fulfilled it. Don't get hung up all that stuff. Do what you know to do. And if we do what we know to do, then we're going to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And here again, you focused on you, not on everybody else, to where you critiquing what they're doing, you critique what you do. Did I do it with excellence? I've never done anything I didn't think I could go back and help it a little bit, you know? And that's healthy. Because then you mature as you go along, and the next time you do something like that, you have a little experience under your belt. Everyone should have a predetermined goal. Now, predetermined does not necessarily mean a detailed goal. But we must have a goal to which we're striving. We have to be going somewhere. You just don't, normally speaking, you just don't get in the car and see where it'll go. But the whole objective of going out there and getting in that car is because you have a place in mind that you're going. Whether it's to the store or to the job or vacation or what, you have a destination. And even if you go on vacation, you just don't say, well, let's just go on vacation. We'll just get in the car wherever it takes us. No, that doesn't work that way. You'd never get there, and if you did, you wouldn't know it. If you don't have a goal, I mean, think about it. If you don't have a goal, you wouldn't know when you got there. So we do have a purpose. We need to be going somewhere in order to be proficient in production. And God has called us to produce. And here again, I've said it before, but I'll say it again, fulfilling purpose involves other people. You're just not going to do it by yourself. You know, through the years, I've worked on a lot of things. And what I find is when I get ready to work on something, I need a part. So that's me fixing what I'm working on is dependent upon that person, somebody having a part. And sometimes it's a challenge. You have to locate the person that has what you need. And often that's done through references. You talk to this person, well, I don't have what you need, but check here. And he says, I don't have what you need, but check here. Now, the key is be persistent. Don't give up. Because what's going to happen, somebody is going to have the right connection. Well, it's the same way in the Spirit, doing the things, accomplishing. When you ask somebody if they can't, there's somebody else. There's somebody else. There's somebody that's the right somebody to assist in getting this thing done. I go back to that man and woman. When you get married, it's not just a woman, a man, but the right one that can supply that thing that you're needing. Okay? We're going to stop here. Time's up. And